welcome to another edition of Visions with me, your host, Yoni Wickham. And today, we are going to be discussing a very serious and difficult topic, but it is necessary to have this type of conversation as we try to encourage each other and really find solutions. I have with me my friend and great counselor, St. Clair Brown. St. Clair, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Yudley. It's a blessing to be here again, being part of the family. So yes, I'm excited.
Good. Now, Sinclair, over the last year in particular, Barbados has experienced something which might seem a bit new to people, and that is suicide. We have heard of quite a few young people and older persons who have taken the route of suicide. And I want us today to really look at it globally and then zoom in a bit on families who have members with disabilities and the individual with the disability themselves. And from my knowledge, I know that suicide is like a part or the ending of being in a depressive state. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Yes, please. Suicide is very much a part, as I said, it definitely has been happening in Barbados in recent times. There's been a lot of happening that hits close to the heart of many. And many times suicide becomes an option when we have no other option. We see it as one of the options. It is like there are doors, there's door A, B, and C. And C becomes that door of a solution. And the other doors become darker. This door becomes the solution of sorts. It becomes a pacifier because whatever the situation is, it comes to a place of feeling overwhelmed. And then we choose that option to escape. And it can be physical, mental, emotional, financial, spiritual, relational issues. Sometimes a combination of those things that can cause us to choose this door of a solution, you know, of options that are there. We do have, as I said, therapies and counseling and those folks. And I think the aspect of mental health, that's the good thing with COVID. COVID has really pushed the understanding that mental health is a thing. It's not something that is when you have a mental disability or in that way you're depressed or, you know, but mental health, emotional health, or thought health, I think, needs to be more recognized. Like, thank God that we are in that space, that we are looking at that. But just as much as we see doctors and we have normalcy with going to a doctor, we need to have that same type of understanding that having a therapist or a person that we can communicate with to help us through our different emotional spaces, that is a necessity for our society.
Okay, so Sinclair, you've mentioned quite a lot there in terms of how an individual can easily move towards having thoughts of suicide and then committing the acts. I want us now to kind of backtrack a little and talk about how we as an individual can become depressed. What is really depression and how does it affect us mentally, emotionally, and physically?
Depression is, there's something that still are a little ticklish with the word depression. It's a feeling of severe dejection, despondency. Clinical depression is what they call a mental health disorder characterized by persistent depressed moods or loss or interest in activities, causing significant impairment in daily activities. It affects our sleep patterns, it affects our ability to move, it affects our ability to function, it affects our sex life, it affects all of our activities. That's when we talk about people being clinically depressed and they have a persistent feeling of sadness or loss or interest that carries major depressions, which I say can lead to other symptoms, the high blood pressure, low blood pressure, I say affecting our sleep, lack of sleep. Some people end up sleeping a lot. They can't even get out of their bed. Some people actually can't get to sleep. They're just lying there. Appetite. Once again, some people end up into overeating. And there are some people which do actually have no appetite to eat. Energy levels. Once again, some people can go into high anxiety and, the anxiety attacks, panic attacks, and some have no energy at all, lower energy. Concentration is affected also. To be able to focus and the ability to get mental tasks done, to concentrate is difficult, to focus on the task at hand. And this affects work, if your occupation, relationships, because some might think a person is deliberately not doing this thing. Concentration is a difficult thing. And then for some people now, even that concentration of the mind is overworked. So some people, they can't focus. And some people know their brain is just going at 100 miles per hour. They cannot seem to capture their thoughts or the setup, even in their own headspace. Daily behaviors changed up. You're talking about a person who was active and out and going. Now this person is just in and not moving, or a person normally smile a lot is not smile a lot. All right, you got self-esteem where the person was motivating. That person is no longer motivated. That whole thing of I am this, and because of the combination of these things, some people are actually going into what you call anorexia or bulimia, which is now an eating disorder based on their self-esteem, based on, I say, the appetite in relation to that. So depression can affect so many things. And depression, yes, is associated with thoughts of suicide, because depression is that dark space. I'm a therapist, but I'm also a minister. So definitely part of my component in this is very spiritual. While many others may not be in that camp, I also want to address for those that are in the camp of understanding spiritually, that these voices that people hear, that they hear his voice saying, to kill yourself, there's a languaging in the head. So it's not outside of your head, but there's depression that is leading to this. Normally, medication is recommended, talk therapy or a combination of the two. And then there are other behaviorisms, I mean, other therapies that are bringing modalities into the space, because we do recognize that this is an issue.
Okay, so Sinclair, you're saying that depression can come from different sources because of different reasons. It might be work related, relationship related, family related, financial, and so on. And you have said the two major methods of dealing with depression is therapy or medication or a combination of both. And what I want us to look at, because sometimes people feel they are alone. They have no one they can talk to. They have no one they can trust in sharing their vulnerability, their deepest thoughts and emotions as they are experiencing this particular situation. How can we, as a family, as colleagues at work, as neighbors, really seek to help that individual?
The good thing, we start here. We talk about the base level of having safe spaces to communicate with persons, having somebody to talk with. The reason talk therapy works is because we are designed by nature to relate to other persons. Bible speaks about iron sharpening iron and love your neighbor and stuff like that. There's a reason I love that is pushed, and it is because to connect with another human being, to share, by sharing alone, just by having somebody to talk to, that is 80% of the therapy right there. Many times we don't feel like we can relate to a person or spaces, or we don't know there's a solution, even if I speak. But I want to say to those persons that are listening that, people say, what do you say to talking? There's this idea that, you're just talking just because, at the end of the day, what? Believe you, that this is one of the reasons that, even from a medical perspective, tested scientifically, that they recognize that just having somebody to communicate, human beings are not just a accumulation of parts, but we are more than that. We are energy, we are spirit. There's a lot more to us. So when you share with another human being, there is this connection that allows us to be able to come down. A lot of you may be out of 10, we are at a 9. But it's even better when we have professionals that can actually be strategic in assisting us in coming out, because some people actually may make it worse. That is where one, as you ask the question, is being available and present so people can talk to. Yes. And all of us should have that person checking with persons, even people that are low maintenance, especially people that are low maintenance. Those people that are always, seem to have it together and always, you know, low maintenance. Many times they're crying out for help and people don't know. So being available and present to our friends, checking in with persons, especially people that are living by themselves, people are getting older, people that got divorced, people that lost a loved one, lost a child. You know what I mean? Be checking with people just to see how we're doing, how you're going, and being not just doing the cordial thing, but being definitely available. Now, the next step from there, I do believe, is as pointing a person in the direction to getting professional help. And they have free services. They do have services such as the Samaritans. Those are available to this day. There is Safe Haven for Women Crisis Hotline. That also is a free service. And they have several other free services across Barbados. So sometimes it is just going out and searching. Many churches have spaces to free counseling and so forth.
And the government of Barbados also provides therapy, counseling through the various polyclinics. There is a psychologist available at the various polyclinics. It's just you That's calling great. And finding out when that counselor is stationed at the polyclinic that you can make an appointment and go and just walk in.
Yes, please. I heard, you know, there's a lot of discussions and people saying, you know, Barbados need to do this and Barbados need to do that. And I'm never one to say to don't do something, but I think we knock our systems, you know, in so many ways. We don't actually first discovering. And I want to say people that there are resources. Are there upfront resources? No. But are there resources? Yes. Because it's not like we're buying bread every day or buying, you know, biscuits, because it's a specialized. So many times we are not aware, but there are a lot of counseling services in Barbados, paid for and free. And even the church was getting not a recent listener program. People saying, you know, the church need to do this. But many churches are providing services for congregation and people outside their congregation. But once again, that is not something that you're supposed for the church to come and advertise and say, you know, we counsel several depressed suicidal people. No, that is something we have with the left hand and the right hand ideology. However, the thing for the families, you ask the question first, be available, be present for persons, recognize their services out there, both free, volunteered, and paid. And we need to look at those things, the counseling services, psychologists, psychiatrists, those type of modalities we need to take advantage of. And then we could go from there.
Okay, so we recognize, we acknowledge that depression can come on any individual at any stage of your life. Mm-hmm. And that there are several services available, private and public, paid and not paid. So we as a family, as a community, can be present and available for that individual. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some individuals who will acknowledge within themselves, yes, I feel depressed, I do need help, and they reach out. There are other individuals who may not want to acknowledge that they are in a depressive manner and do need some professional help. Is there any way that you can really reach that type of individual to get them to this point of being counseled?
The challenge with counseling and any therapy, be it, even if you say weight loss, we use weight loss something so we can understand, is they ask the question, is there anything you can do to get a person to lose weight? That person has to want to. We can't try to do intervention, but the main part of the person has to come to space where they need to recognize that I need help, because very difficult to help someone who does not want to be helped. I'm not saying we do not, we just throw our hands in the ear. We can have a communication with the persons. We can try to reach out to give them the numbers or to take them, but to go out through the process, 60 to 80% of that process is really on the person. So the truth matter being there for a person and having a relationship, if there is a way to get the cold to the water, is by having that relationship. If we can have that relationship with the person where they can trust us to communicate with us, and then we can then hand them over to the professional while walking with them. What many persons would have been done with myself is that they had a relationship with the person, and the first session or two, they actually came with the person until they can transfer that trust to me, the therapist. And then we then had that relationship that they can talk to me. So yes, I can't be that. The part of us, we can walk alongside the person, build that relationship, build that trust until that person is in a space where they can decide, I want to do this on my own. It's like teaching how to ride a bicycle. You have a training wheels and then you take off the training wheels and then you move forward. We all find ourselves in difficult situations. right? And we ask ourselves, do we stay in this job, in this relationship, in this house, in this neighborhood, in this, you know what I mean, in this marriage? Somebody in the country is an issue. Career, even something as simple as, do I have this operation, sign this contract, have children, not have children? These are different things that could put us in a very difficult spot. A person recognize that their sexual orientation is an issue. Once again, they see that as this whole thing of suicide being escape route. So there's so many things that can find us in a dilemma. And I just want to toss out a couple of things here so we got at least a solution to it. And what you need to do is acknowledge that there's a problem. There's no quick fix. People, we've come to the microwave environment. There is no microwave fix. And I think that is, we need to know that. And everything takes cost. Every opportunity is a cost. Everything has a delayed gratification. So it's kind of walking through a person's where a person may find this, this is the quickest way, because I don't like the bodily sensations. Because what most people are trying to escape is how I am feeling, not just mentally, but physically. How I'm feeling my chest, how I'm feeling my head, how my body's shaking. And that level of discomfort causes persons to choose this option. But there's no quick fix. If we are walking with this person, we need to understand this is not a two-session, three-session journey. It takes literally 63 days of continuous and persistent changing and putting small drops in the bucket before you even begin to start to make shift. And that is consistent. And many of us are not consistent. So we're easily looking at 6 months. Yeah. There's no let's go to one therapy session and this person gives a revelation and they go home happy. We need to analyze the cost and benefits of this whole thing. Like I said, the opportunity cost is going to be, and it's going to be taxing. Number three, there's no perfect solutions. So it's not always a win-win situation. Sometimes it's going to cost us tremendously. Number four, I'm choosing this program from Russ Harris. Four, there's no way not to choose. You have to choose. You have to make a decision. Many times people are in depressive modes because they don't want to choose. They don't want to make a decision. They want the environment and the space to choose for us. But you have to come to a place where you're not a bad person with choosing or opting to make a decision. And then number five, acknowledging today's choice, recognizing many times when we are at this crossroad, we were making all the information we have to make the decision if I'm going left or right, and not to look back and say, shoulda, coulda, woulda. Hindsight is 20/20 vision. However, we need to be able to recognize I'm here and make a decision and acknowledge today's decision, and then eventually to take a stand. And this isn't any of the things that we're talking about earlier, whichever that modality look like. And when people are willing to walk with us through these different seasons, it helps us, because this may be something that's 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, but being available to walk a person through their, well, dilemma first before it's again depression and by extension so that suicide doesn't become an option or such a strong option upon their plate. Yeah, hopefully we should be able to help some people.
I'm glad you said all of what you just said, Sinclair, because many times when difficult situation arises, friends, family, like back off and say, well, I'm not getting involved. That's not my issue. But as you're pointing out, we really need to be there right alongside the individual, either giving them encouragement, giving them a space where they can talk through that particular dilemma before they can go down to the stage of becoming depressed. And the other part is helping that individual to make the best, wisest choice. Again, sometimes we back away thinking, well, I can't choose for you, correct? But you can also provide information which will help broaden the understanding that the individual has of the particular topic matter. And then hopefully that will provide a way of that person feeling more informed to make a better choice.
Yes, please. Okay. I just summarizing, because I know I gave those long steps and so many people are listening and may not be able to say, okay, those were a couple. I'm sure that you can go online and hear your program again and follow. However, just for the ending, so that we can kind of have a good idea what we can look at, there are many things to open up. We need to open up the persons, and this is kind of a triangle system which we use in therapy. opened up, able to separate and unhook and detach your thoughts and feelings. Because you have a thought doesn't mean it's yours. Because feelings not yours, you have feelings, you have thoughts, but they don't have you. So you need to be able to separate your thoughts from yourself. So it's like, I am having a thought that this, that, or that. So you're thinking about what I'm thinking so that you don't get in a place where these thoughts and myself are the same. Yes? So you'll be able to open up and make room for thoughts and feelings and allow them to freely flow. That's why writing and brain dumping, having a journal helps therapy. Please, people, people in my country, Caribbean, the world, writing your thoughts down, please, is important, especially tangible paper. Two-dimensional helps, but definitely when you have a three-dimensional paper and a pencil to work with. Is the second one is being present, able to engage fully in the here and now, the ability to be task force contention. Many people are not present. They're in the past or the future, and they become overwhelmed with everything. So being present. So the first one is open up. Second, being present. And the third, doing what matters, able to be clear about and connected with values, able to take and sustain value-guided actions, and able to set goals, sufficient skills to achieve goals. Those are the things we want to do. Doing what matters is important. So once again, first opening up, be present, do what matters. When we start to pull those three together, we'd be surprised how, even if the beginning of dilemma, the beginning of depressive state, we're able to pull ourselves out back into a place of normalcy. But the last thing I want to say is that there is something called mental health disability. There is the inability to do these things. And that is when you really need a psychologist and psychiatrist, because some things are not just talk therapy. Some things need definitely medical help in situations where we talk about chemicals, we're talking about medications, we're talking about things, because a person does not have the ability to even begin to implement these programs.
Okay, yeah. So Sinclair, you're sharing with us three important steps, which I think are critical to our mental health. And one point that I really want to wrap up on is communication, because sometimes we are trying to have a conversation and one individual may be shouting or sounding like, oh boy, I really don't want to talk with you. So you're getting these vibes, this sense of the person either is angry and shouting, or they're not being present, don't really want to have a conversation with you. How do we build better communication? Because I think that is part of our challenge as well.
I think we're at the beginning stages of better communication, and because of time, I'm going to very summarize. We have to come back to the very basic of humanity, talking. We've lost the ability to relate to a person, sitting down with a person, just ask a person about their feelings, their emotions, you know, what they're going through. That was a bedrock of your community. Now we are actually dating people and not even talking. We are texting people. And I think on a very base level that we've lost the eye contact, we are losing touch, we are losing communication, using words. So communication, I think, is important. I think that in that space of a safe haven of communication, a person can say, I am having these issues. And by going through that, we can sit, have a talk, have lunch, have a drink, have something, and connect with persons and invite person space and help people through their journeys.
Thank you very much, Sinclair. And I will have to get you back so we can continue this conversation. I think it's essential, not just for the community of persons living with disabilities, but for our country as a whole, so that we as individual citizens can start a new process of communicating, being present for not just friends and families, but sometimes strangers will want to interact with us and share an offload. And just being present is essential. So I will have you back where we can continue this conversation. And it really has been very insightful chatting with you today about depression, suicide, and some of the methods we can use to prevent and help ourselves and other individuals. So thanks again very much, Sinclair.
And thank you also for having me, and blessings.
You have been listening to Visions, and my special guest today, Sinclair Brown, a counselor, as we chatted about depression, suicide, and the way forward. Remember, you can reach me on 1-246-269-9660 or via Starcom 1246 4307300 by email, visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And of course, you can listen to this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website and searching for the podcast Visions. Until next week, be safe, be careful, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Ciao.